the Lord has given our brother Moses a word in season. Okay? It's a meal that's hot. It's delicious. It's ready. It's been prepared. And we want to receive it. Amen? So let's welcome our brother as he comes to break the word of God open in this rich series. Father God Almighty, even as we remember the triumphant entry, the day that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ triumphantly entered Jerusalem. To take away our sin, to take away our curse. Even as we reflect, even as we study together, even as we read today, we invite your presence, we invite the Holy Spirit, we invite your insight, O God.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you will come and give us the ability to take in, to understand, and to comprehend your word, to believe it.
Yes.
And to act upon it,
yes,
O God.
Yes.
Father, may you speak to each one of us. May you come and interact with each one of us individually, O God.
Yes.
And interact with us corporately, Lord, and help us as a body, as the people of Jesus Christ, to march on in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much once again, Pastor Pat, for the opportunity for me to be sharing the Word of God, and welcome, church. And even though today is the day when most congregations around the world will be reflecting specifically on the day that Jesus Christ marched into Jerusalem, and many people will be waving palm branches and palm leaves, and people will be most preachers, I believe, will be speaking about the donkey and about Hosanna. And I'll touch a little bit of that. I want us, as a way of continuing, with what we've been looking at, to start studying probably one of the most controversial characters in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We did Abraham. And we all, you know, appreciate Abraham, the father of our faith, or the grandfather of our faith, whichever way we want to look at. We looked at Isaac, who marks the beginning of departure with many, with other faiths that have a root into Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
But then we want to begin looking at Jacob, who actually eventually turns out to be probably one of the most controversial characters. And I call him controversial, not only by what he did, but also by some of the things that have emerged out of Jacob. When you talk about Abraham, when you talk about Isaac, the world is at peace with you. When you begin to talk about Jacob, because you're talking about Israel, then the world begins to wake up.
Yeah.
Those who are not paying attention begin paying attention. What are you saying? Who are you talking about? And so today I will be pretty brief, but I want us to look at Jacob. And if we can go to my first slide, we begin in a context. Let me ask Pastor Pat to read for us a portion of Scripture. It's a long passage, and we're not going to read every detail of it. But in chapter 25 of Genesis, we see these children born. And that's what I'm going to ask Pastor Pat to read. I'm going to ask Pastor Pat to read from chapter 27 later. But let me say this first. We see these children born. Okay? We see Isaac gets married to Rebekah. Rebekah cannot give birth. Isaac pleads to God, prays honestly for his wife to get a child.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get one, he gets two.
That's right.
These children are born. The way they are born, the Bible tells us the first one to come was red. Now, if you got a child and the child is red, And not only red, but hairy. On the day you give birth to that child, he's red and hairy. You're beginning to say, Lord, speak to me about this child. But not only that, when the hairy red child comes out, another little person is following, and he's still a baby, but he's holding his brother's heel. Now, if you're a midwife, you're beginning to say, something is all right here. Today we are probably more knowledgeable. The other day I was watching on television our brother, Dr. Jason Kesson, the one who did the who separated the first set of Siamese twins. What was his name? Kesson, Brother Kesson. And I was just looking at this man who the world had dismissed. But eventually the Lord has used him to become one of the leading neurosurgeons in the world. Right. And I'm saying probably if it were this time around, if you're the parent, you'd be thinking of Brother Carson immediately and saying, I hope he's somewhere near. But those days, they didn't even know. So you have a child coming out and the brother is following, holding the heel. Either you're beginning to doubt the one who is being born in, will be a fighter or what, you know. He's already holding, he's already fighting for his existence, he's already fighting for his space.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is the context in which these two boys are born. And so Jacob, the one we are going to be focusing on and concentrating on, is born, and when they grow up, we are not told much about their childhood. No, we don't know whether they were little boys who fought here and there, whether they were boys who enjoyed playing with each other, but we can imagine that, like all children, they must have been children. Children are children anyway. And sometimes they have to do childish things. Unfortunately, sometimes the adults will not let the children do childish things. But children are children, which is why sometimes children who grow up in households where you have one child and only adults, they can have it very good, they can also have it very rough. Because every time they're trying to be a child, guess what? The adults are saying, come on, don't do that. But anyway, I'm not going to go there because you people don't do that. But we are told that Jacob then grew up to be a quiet boy who spent most of his time in the tent and with the mother. Now, we don't know. During those days that he interacted with the mother, what were they talking about? What were they saying? Mothers can tell us, you know, ladies know how to pass on important information, sometimes without a serious face. And children who stay with their mothers sometimes learn a lot more than children who don't, because sometimes there are certain details that only the mothers know that the fathers will not. The fathers, especially where I grew up, tend to look at the big picture things out there, and the mothers tend to look at all the details. They know certain things. And so I can imagine that Jacob must have picked up a lot of stuff that his brother did not. After all, his brother enjoyed hunting. And if you're hunting, you're out in the field, in the bushes, running after some antelope or whatever it is. I mean, by the time you get back home, you're exhausted and tired. There's a lot of detail that you don't have. There's a lot of stuff you don't have. However, we also know that he spent time with his father because his father loved him and the mother loved Jacob. And remember I said the other day, that is a sad statement because you don't want a family where children grow up knowing, I am daddy's child, I am mommy's child. And there's this obvious divide. Children belong to both parents,
right,
and children are supposed to grow up. That's why God wants a family together, you know, providing care and support to children. But anyway, that is the context. And then we also know, later on we see this very sad story where Jacob, is making some stew, lentils, peas, little beans. And his brother comes back from the fields, hungry, famished. And he says to his brother, brother, give me some soup. I'm dying. And for some reason, Jacob sees an opportunity. And I don't know whether it's a good opportunity or a bad opportunity. But Jacob uses this as an opportunity to say to his brother, I'm going to give you soup. But before I give you soup, swear to me that you felt me. For this plate of soup, you bought me. Now, I really think brothers ought to look out for brothers.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. If you're my brother, I want to depend on you. I want you to depend on me. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that I'll be there for you.
Right.
But this is a very simple matter. It's hunger. It's food. It's lentils. It's a plate of soup.
Mm-hmm.
A plate of soup costs how many dollars? Maybe one or two? Mm-hmm. But Jacob uses it. Huh. This is it. The man was dying. I think he really felt he was dying. So much so that he said, hell, what use is a bathroom?
Right.
Take it if you want it. Give me soup. I eat. And the Bible says he took the soup and he left.
Mm-hmm.
He left without the bathroom. But with the soup in the stomach. And he goes. I feel in some ways, I feel probably Jacob should have looked out for his brother. The question that God asked Cain, a man, where is your brother?
Mm-hmm.
And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? In some ways, I believe Jacob was operating in that spirit.
Yeah.
You guys are on your own, man. I don't care. As long as I'm okay. Are there ways in which the church today is like that?
Yes.
Is it possible that even in our midst, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, there are ways in which we act like Jacob? We may not ask for the birthright, but there may be something else. Are we looking out for one another? Anyway, the story goes on. We know the story very well. And then we move on to Genesis chapter 27, and that's why one Pastor Pat read some verses. We'll read a little bit in detail today. So let's begin verse 1 and read down a little bit. I'll tell you when to stop.
Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see that he called Esau his older son and said to him, my son. And he answered him, here I am. Then he said, behold now, I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, indeed I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to what I command you. Go down to the flock and bring from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food for them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, look, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, get them for me. And then he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, my father? And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you've told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to him, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of the clothing and blessed him and said,
"That's enough. Hold on there. We'll pick it up. It's a long story." Mm-hmm. But I wanted to read it so that if you haven't read the story, you can get the context. Here is a very interesting situation. Was this Esau giving the food?
No.
This was Jacob.
Yeah.
But Jacob is saying, "Esau, your son, how did you find it so quickly? Your God gave it to me. You know, I found favor." Controversial, isn't it?
Huh.
Here was a mother. She's the mother of both children. For some reason, she decided she was going to ensure that this blessing goes to this one child and not the other.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, we saw last Sunday that she had a secret. When she went to inquire of the Lord, she had been told, the older will serve the younger.
Right.
It disturbed me a little bit. And one of the things that have disturbed me in the scripture, this is one of the stories. The other stories that I struggle with is the story of the shrewd servant, the servant of the rich man who was the shrewd manager, the Bible calls it. It's another story that I struggle with when I read it. I'm trying to understand. And so the story of Jacob, I'm wondering and I'm saying, Jacob is not Esau. He's wearing his brother's clothes. He goes, he deceives his father, and actually the father goes ahead and blesses him.
Mm-hmm.
A few minutes later, well, you know, you can read the whole of the story. His brother comes in, tired, but he has got the game. He prepares it the way his father likes it. He takes it to his father. And when he calls his father and says, "Father, arise and eat." And the father, the Bible says, the father trembled.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
With fear, I said, "So, who was that one that I blessed?" And Esau says, "I don't know, but I'm brought to you."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Isaac says, "Your brother came in deceitfully and I've blessed him. And I've already blessed him and he'll be blessed."
Mm-hmm.
"And he's going to be Lord over you."
Mm-hmm.
"You are going to serve him." I want you to imagine the anguish of Esau. And Esau, the Bible says, cried bitterly and said, "Father, did you have only one blessing? Didn't you have another?" And I read the blessing that Isaac gave Esau. Oh, it's painful. Oh. He tells him, "Your brother will reign over you." Let's look at that. Verse 29. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's sweetness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother." Oh, that is the blessing that Esau received. Painful.
Mm-hmm.
And we can all imagine that. But why would God then bless a cheat? Why did God go ahead to bless Jacob? And I struggled to understand that. And the Lord led me through a couple of scriptures. We will not read them. But I want you to take note of them and you can read them when you go. But let's read Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 from verse 10, if you can read for us, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 9, verse 10.
Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there any unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy.
Let's go on.
For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor?
What? Let's stop there. There came my answer.
Mm-hmm.
God loves whom he loves.
Right.
He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy.
Right.
He chooses.
Mm-hmm.
He chose Jacob. He hated Esau. It's not for me to try and understand.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, sometimes churches have been ripped apart. Families have fallen apart. People, friendships, relationships have been broken. Because people are struggling with the question, why not me? Why him? I'm better than him. Why do they promote him and they don't promote me? Why do they speak so well about him and they don't speak so well about me?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they treat him better than they treat me?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not for you.
Right.
It's for God.
Mm-hmm.
He blesses whom he chooses. And you don't know why he has chosen a particular person to be in leadership at a particular time, and not you.
That's right.
You don't know why he chose a particular person right. to sing in the choir, not you.
Right.
Maybe you even have a better voice, and you know another one sing.
Right.
But the Lord has chosen a particular person to serve him.
That's right.
Not you. Will the pot say to the potter, you made me badly?
Come on.
We are the pot.
Right.
Jacob was a pot.
That's right.
Esau was a pot.
That's right.
And the potter is doing what he wants with his pot. At that point I said, Lord, you know what you're doing.
That's right.
The other verse that I looked at, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, and we all know the verse, that God looks at the heart. When Samuel went to anoint a king in the house of Jesse, and Jesse brought all his children one by one. The big boys first, the taller ones, the big ones, the elegant ones, the more highly honored. And one by one, the Lord said, not that one, not that one, not that one. And then when he had brought all his children and there was almost nobody remaining, Samuel the prophet says, is there none other? The father says, is one small one. He's not even here.
Hmm.
He doesn't count.
Right.
If we are looking for kings whom God can use, not him.
Hmm.
He doesn't have an experience. He's looking after sheep.
Oh, my goodness.
Samuel says,
bring him. Priest that says what?
Let's look at him.
Yeah.
And the Bible says as soon as King David came, Samuel arose. God said,
right.
I went and anointed
That's
him
right.
with oil.
That's right.
I can imagine the father must have sat there saying, Samuel, are you really a man of God? Do you know what you're doing? I have been training my sons and preparing them. I know who is who. I know who has the capacity to be a pastor. I know who has the capacity to be king.
Yes.
And I've given you all the options.
Right.
And now you are choosing one who doesn't even have experience.
Mm-hmm.
And Samuel answers and he says, man looks at the outside, God looks at the heart.
Right.
So you and I must be looking at Esau and thinking, you know what? He's the guy, right? He's hairy. And a lot of people think, you know, if you see a hairy man, he's more manly than those of us who, you know, have him.
Right, hair. Right.
So probably that's why some of us try to keep a mustache, you know, so. Look at him. Or a beard or something. Look a little hairy, you know, and try to show that you are. But let me tell you. The Bible clearly says God looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, fine, God looks at the heart, but okay, the means, the way Jacob did it, too deceitful, playing on his brother's weakness, taking advantage of his brother. Then the Lord opened my eyes to something very interesting. Jacob had no fault. Rebecca took the calf. The mother said, my son, let the calf be on me.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody has taken the calf.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob is free.
Right.
Somebody has taken the calf.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob is acting freely.
Yes.
So he goes, and he's speaking at that stage. I'm sure maybe he's not even the one speaking. Some anointing of sorts has taken over. He has no more fear to think, my voice is different from Esau's voice. I mean, you cannot mistake my voice and Pastor Pat's voice, can you? But here I am, I'm telling you, oh, I'm Pastor Pat. And Jacob, Isaac is struggling. He says, yeah, the voice is,
come on.
The voice is not really, but come here, the clothes, yeah, the clothing. Anyway, and then I realized another fact. The Bible says very sadly, Genesis 25:34, that Esau despised.
That's right.
The birthright.
That's right.
Birthright was given by God. You know how many times we despise the things God has given
come
us?
On. Help us.
God, you made me too short. You should have made me as tall as Fanso. God, you made me too dark. I should have been as light as so and so. God, you didn't give me the gift to play. I can't tell you how many times I tried to learn how to play the piano.
Hmm.
And my fingers are so short when I tried it straight. They were not there.
That's right.
And I'm sitting there and I see Tori just, you know, and I'm saying, Lord, hallelujah. Woo-hoo! I said, I'm going to say, I'm saying, Lord, glory be to your Holy Spirit. But me, but you know how many times we have despised what we have?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the birthright. That's our birthright. That's what God wanted, and the Bible says, and God says it is good.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Lord, I should have been a little now, Lord, you see here. Then you look at somebody else and you admire them and you say, you ain't try to walk like this. Why are you despising what God has given you?
Yeah.
Why are you despising what God has made?
Right.
You are the one God wanted, and He knows you are good.
That's
and He wanted you the way you are. He
right.
loves you the way you are.
That's right. That's good. Amen.
Let's go to the next slide. Then God began revealing many things to me. Friends, Jacob was no longer Jacob. One important thing that happened during this process, Jacob's identity changed. Let's read verse 15, 16 again. His identity was completely changed.
20,
27.
27.
15:16, Genesis.
Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck.
You know, it was no longer Jacob. His identity has been changed. That his mother put on him the best clothes of Esau. And the bare part she covered with goat's hair. Completely different. And I'm looking and I'm saying, yeah, there's something in there that I need to learn. I'll come back to that. Let me leave that for a time. And the Bible says Isaac ate and drank. Why was it important for Isaac to eat and drink before he blesses his son? He has been eating and drinking all these days, right? Does that sound to you like the Last Supper? Does that sound to you like this is the Last Supper? Jesus gathered with his disciples. He eats and drinks before he goes to the cross. Does this look like communion? This is the picture of communion. Remember I said to you before that Isaac is the typological equivalent of Jesus. Isaac eats and drinks and he has communion before he blesses Jacob. Actually, Esau. When Isaac was blessing, he wasn't blessing Jacob. Isaac was blessing Esau. In his heart, he was blessing Esau.
Right.
In his mind, he was blessing his firstborn son. And in many ways, yes, because his firstborn son had sold the birthright to his second son. So when Jacob said, I'm your son, Esau, he was standing in the birthright that he had acquired. Not just the clothing, but even the acquisition of the birthright. The skin. Compare what happened in Eden. In the Garden of Eden, when Abraham and Eve sinned, what did the Lord do? He took skin and covered them. So Rebekah is actually taking the sin of Adam and Eve and covering it. He's doing exactly what the Lord did. He took the skins and covered them.
Right.
Rebecca is taking the skins and covering the bare part of his son, changing his identity. Then he takes the choicest clothes, and brethren, I'm coming to the point now. He takes the choicest clothes, covers Jacob, and ushers him into the presence of his father Isaac. Isaiah chapter 61:10. And before we read Isaiah chapter 61:10, the Bible tells us that our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. In his presence, none of us can claim to be righteous.
Right.
And so what does God do? Let me tell you, friends. Each one of us is a Jacob. You and I are Jacob. So guess what we do when we are trying to look for God and we are trying to get his righteousness? We try to put on all the good things that we can. Pastoral clothes, robes, choir robes. We try to speak in a particular way. We try to do all sorts of rituals. We try to do all sorts of things to cover our bare past, to cover our sin, because we are going in the presence of the Father. We try to do that. We are a Jacob. You're sitting there and saying, Jacob must have been a thief. You were one.
That's right. Yes.
You and Jacob are the same. At least I am. I'm a Jacob.
Yeah. How many things have I put on Esau's clothes when I went to God? Rather than go to God the way I am, I try to put on all the clothing that can cover my bareness. And I go to God and I say, Lord, what you're looking at is not Moses. You're looking at something different, Father. But God knows.
That's right.
The thing inside is Jacob. The clothing outside is Esau. But the creature inside is Jacob.
That's right.
Isaiah 61:10.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
That's what our God does. God is no longer looking at Moses. He has taken Moses and clothed him with clothes of righteousness,
right,
with the robe of salvation, with the garment of salvation. And when the Lord looks at me, he's no longer seeing Moses the chief. He's not seeing Moses the light.
Come on.
He's not seeing Moses the weak person. He's not seeing Moses the defeated man.
Right.
He clothes me.
Thank you, Jesus.
With the garment of righteousness.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's why Rebecca took the best clothes of Esau and dressed Jacob. That's what Jesus does to you and I.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
He dresses up. Dresses us up. Then ushers in the presence of the Father. And the Father will say, yeah, the voices of Moses. But the person who is washed in me is my glorious Son.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans 13:14. Let's read. Romans 13:14.
But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to
put on the Lord Jesus. Oh. Put on.
Yes.
Brethren, Jesus is our cloth.
Right.
Put him on.
Right.
Oh. And when God wants to bless, he's looking at Jesus. The thing inside is Moses.
Right.
But he's seeing his Son with whom he's well pleased.
That's right.
He doesn't see this failed creature.
Mm.
His Son with whom he's well pleased.
Right.
Paul says, put on Christ. Put him on. Galatians 3:27. Put on Christ. Brethren, if we put on Christ, when God looks, he will not see.
Right.
You see Jesus.
Yeah.
So that day, when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, he's sitting on a colt, a donkey. I don't know how many of us have seen a donkey in real life. There's a stupid animal. It's a donkey. Donkeys are happiest when they are carrying something. And once they are loaded, they really enjoy it. You see them running on and going. And if the rider does not pull them off the road, they are not going to see a car coming and they run off the road. That's not their business. A car may be coming at full speed, 80 miles an hour, and the donkey will begin crossing the road in peace. Pray that the Lord takes you to visit cities like Nairobi. There are so many of them around Nairobi city. Farmers use them. In the morning, you're rushing on the road and they are, you are the one to slow down. They pass, they go. So that day when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, they brought clothes and put them on the donkey.
And brethren, the moment Jesus sat on the donkey, it was no longer a donkey. It was a glorified animal. It was something different. And you and I are the donkey.
Yeah.
Today, you and I are the donkey. And when Christ begins riding us, entering Jerusalem, we can sing Hosanna without worrying about our past.
Right.
Without worrying about what we did or didn't do. Without worrying about what we have or don't have. Because we have put on Christ.
Amen.
The donkey had put on Christ. And then a very interesting verse. The Bible says when Isaac caught the smell of Esau's clothes. When Isaac caught the smell of his son's clothes, he could no longer hold back the blessing.
Right.
The moment had arrived when Isaac caught the smell. He just reached out and blessed. When God catches the smell of Jesus, the blessing is yours. The blessing is mine. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter what I am.
Right.
It doesn't matter what I have done or haven't done. It doesn't matter what I've been able to do or have not been able to do. When God catches the smell of his son. Read that verse for me again.
And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his clothes. And blessed him.
The Bible says he smelt the smell. New International Version says he caught the smell. It's like he became possessed. At that moment, he could not hold back the blessing. He blessed him. Brethren, when we put on Christ and God catches that smell, he will bless us. Let's go to the next slide. You know, and then I began, it interested me to try and understand why smell is so important to God. And the Bible actually teaches God loves sweet smell.
Right.
He loves sweet smell. God, there is something about smell. I don't know why the church hasn't taught this much. But there's something about smell that our Father loves. Genesis 2:12, the very beginning of creation. Let's read that one a bit. Genesis 2:12.
And the gold of the land is good, Delium, and the ox stone are there.
Yeah, 2:12. Yes,
2:12. Okay.
That's it. Continue.
And the land and the name of the second river is Gihon. It is one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth is the Euphrates. Then God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every...
That's enough. The gold of the land is good. And the fragrance is there. The gold of the land is good. And the fragrance is there. And that's where God took man and placed him. Genesis 8:21 talks about after the deluge, the flood of Noah.
Right.
The Bible says, and God smelled the fragrance,
right,
and it was good. Exodus 29:18, let's read this one, because then God gives a specific formula to Moses of how to make a sweet smell that must be placed in the place of worship.
Amen. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma and an offering made by fire to the Lord.
A sweet aroma. There was something about burning the whole lamb on the fire. And when God smelt it, oh, it was good.
That's right.
Read 30. Exodus 30:36.
And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, while I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you.
But 36?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And 37?
Yeah, up to 38.
But as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make it for yourselves, according to its composition. It shall be holy. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people.
God gave a special formula of incense, of fragrance, to Moses to make for the holy place. And he says, if anybody makes a formula like that, he must be cut off. Our God loves a sweet smell. And so when Isaac caught the smell of the clothes of his son Esau, he couldn't hold back the blessing. And when God catches the smell of his son Jesus, he can't hold back the blessing. Let's put on Christ, and God will smell Christ. And when once we put on Christ, Paul says, then we become an aroma ourselves. We become a sweet smell in the world. And my Lord says, we have to spread this aroma. By who we are, Paul says, you are a sweet fragrance. But a sweet fragrance to some, to others, an awful odor. To those who are being saved, we are a sweet fragrance. To those who are perishing, we are detestable. They would rather have us not there. And in many countries, where the mention of the word Christ costs you life. I was told of a pastor in Somalia who used to smuggle Bibles to brethren that are tucked away in some parts in Somalia. And one day, they stopped at a checkpoint. And when they checked the luggage and they saw a Bible in his bag, they didn't ask questions. Put a bullet through his head. There are many places where this kind of thing is happening. Where the moment you mention the word Jesus, you mention the word Israel, you would rather be thrown out. Is it a wonder that even in a place like this one, there are people who are struggling to get the word God, the word Christ, out of certain places, out of certain declarations, even though that is the foundation of this earth, of this land. But the Bible says we should be that sweet aroma. Let's spread that sweet aroma.
Yes.
And there are two ways in which we can spread that sweet aroma. Just by being who we are, witnessing to Christ. But there's a second way in which we can spread that aroma. In the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, if you turn with me to Revelation, chapter 8, verses 3 to 4.
Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand.
The smell of the incense. There is a special angel who mixes incense with our prayer. A special angel whose work is to take my prayers. That's why I don't have to have the best word in the world pray.
Amen.
Whether I know how to pray. The brother who could only pray from fire. It's enough.
That's right.
There is an angel who takes incense and mixes it with my bad language. And when it ascends to God, Oh, the Lord says something good is coming from there.
Right.
Something good is coming from Stephanie Lane. Increase it, increase it.
Nice.
I like it, I like it. Oh. But the more you pray,
right,
the more incense the yeah. angels mix with yeah. your prayer.
Amen.
Don't deprive your angel of the opportunity to mix incense with your prayer.
Amen.
By not praying.
Mm-hmm.
Pray.
Pray.
Pray. Pray so that the angel can mix.
Yeah.
And God sits on his throne and says, carry on, son. Carry on, daughter.
That's right.
I'm reminded of a time we were praying and fasting in school. And I think we had been praying a number of days. I can't remember exactly the number of days, but we had really been praying and fasting. And you know, in boarding school, in that country where I grew up, you don't have a whole lot of food. So by the time you're praying and fasting, you're basically going below your reserves. And we still had to wake up and pray late in the night. And there is this brother who got up to pray. And all he could say is, Lord, good night. But let me tell you, pray.
Yes.
Let the angel mix incense.
That's right.
In your prayers.
Amen.
Let me finish. I want to look at the blessing that Isaac gave Jacob. Let's read that blessing together. 27:27-29.
And he came near to him and kissed him and smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed.
Hold it there for a while. The smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed.
Mm-hmm.
What picture do you get when you read this? The Bible says, because Jesus had become a curse, he was taken outside of the city, and he was killed there. He was murdered outside of the city.
Right.
Cursed is he who hangs on a tree.
Right.
Nobody even wanted him in their grave. But God has hidden from us Nicodemus, Joseph, Gamaliel. Joseph, he came and asked for the body. They took it. They give us the body. They went and they hid it or kept it in a grave. By Monday, after 3 days, the garden was no longer the cat's garden.
Sorry.
It became the blessed garden. Jesus had come out. Blessing is speaking about the resurrection. The garden, the field that the Lord has blessed. He was no longer the cursed grave.
Right.
He was the blessed place of resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Let's carry on.
Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth.
Of the dew of heaven. Let's stop there.
Mm-hmm.
The dew of heaven speaks about provision. May God provide for you. We are going through a difficult time for many people. A time when provisions are no longer a guarantee. A time when the things that people took for granted are no longer obvious things.
Right.
There was a time that people went into shops and bought what they didn't want. Then they went back home and said, what did I even buy? What does it do, by the way? Thank God for the return policy they return.
That's right.
But we're now at a stage where you don't buy things like that anymore. It's tough.
right.
It's tight. But the Lord is assuring us. He will give us of the dew of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Provision, divine provision. There will be divine provision in your life.
Amen.
Be still, be patient before Him. And know that because you have put on Christ and you have offered your prayers, the sweet smell mixed with incense by the angel has ascended to the Father.
Yes.
There will be divine
mm-hmm.
provision. And He says, the richness, your Bible says, the fatness
mm-hmm.
of the land.
Mm-hmm.
My Bible says, the richness of the earth. May He give you of the riches of the earth. What does that talk about? Productivity. He talks about wealth. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, the Bible says, if we obey, we shall eat the good of the land.
Yes.
Brethren, it is there's nothing wrong eating the good
right.
of the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to enjoy a burger. But not in the excess.
That's right.
It's good to enjoy the good of the land. Amen?
Amen.
This land is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether here in America or in Sudan.
That's right.
This world is good.
Mm-hmm.
Told you the story of a pastor, a bishop, who was told if he did not go and live, he was going to die and go to heaven. And he had refused to go and live, but the moment he heard that he was going to die, he immediately went on leave so that he could stay on this world for a little longer. This world can be a good world. It has challenges, it has pains,
right.
But the Lord wants us to eat the good of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on.
And plenty of grain and wine.
Plenty of grain and wine. Productivity. We need to be productive. The Lord wants us to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord wants us to have granaries or stores or banks. The Lord wants us to have plenty of grain and wine. Productivity. This is the blessing that Isaac passed on to Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Move on.
Let peoples serve you,
mm-hmm.
and nations bow down to you.
Mm-hmm.
Be master over your brethren,
mm-hmm.
and let your mother's sons bow down to you.
That is worship. Whom is Isaac telling to be worshipped? Jacob? Isaac knows that inside of Jacob is someone greater before whom nations will bow. Who will be master over all? Who will be served by others? Who will be worshipped? And that is Jesus. Isaac is blessing Jacob. But Isaac knows that inside Jacob is a different seed. And that seed is the one he's blessing. And the last part?
Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you.
Protection. Friends, protection is ours. Let's look at Genesis 28, verse 1 to 4.
Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples. And give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham.
That your offspring, that that offspring, that seed, is Jesus Christ. And I forgot to tell my brother to move the slides. I'm going a couple of slides forward. You know, when I got into it, we will come back to that. And this will be available on the website, so anybody who wants can download it. The blessing of Abraham. And Isaac says, may your offspring, may the people of the world be blessed through your offspring. That offspring is Jesus Christ. Let's go to the last slide and I'll be done. Very quickly, I want to mention a few things here. Remember, we are looking at the context of Jacob,
right,
in which Jacob is born and Jacob is growing. He hasn't even been ushered into his ministry yet. Bitterness, grudge, and hatred. Remember, he talks about the opposing seed. When opposition begins to grow in your life, it's not always a bad idea. Opposition helps us to grow.
That's right.
Because when you begin to get opposition, when you begin to get this pain, sometimes they draw you closer to God. Sometimes people pray more and better. I wasn't here, but I'm told after 9/11.
Oh, we pray.
People pray. Churches were filling up. People were sleeping in the church. Not saying God appointed 9/11. That's a different story. But when that pain comes, people begin to seek God. And sometimes God will allow pain so we can seek Him. Sometimes we are too comfortable. Some opposition needs to come to remind us that we shouldn't be depending on ourselves.
Right.
So Jacob had to flee. It got so bad that his brother wanted to kill him. You know, when brother rises up against his brother, he wants to kill you. It got so bad that Jacob had to escape, and the mother had to. You know, Rebecca, I don't know. Rebecca is a very interesting character. I think they need to just study the psychology of Rebecca. He overhears that Esau is so angry. Of course, she knew he was going to be angry. But she hears that he's so angry, he's planning to kill his brother after their father is dead. And maybe in order to accelerate, the Bible doesn't say this, I'm now just adding. Maybe to accelerate his killing of Jacob, he could have accelerated the dying of Isaac.
Right.
Because he was waiting for the death of Isaac in order to make even with his brother. But the real issue, one of the issues that brought pain, Esau's wives. Esau married wives. The Bible says Canaanite girls who made life difficult for Rebecca. Hey, my sisters who are here, please don't make life difficult for your mothers-in-law. Can I hear some amen? And if you have sons, don't just pray for your sons. Pray in advance for the sister, for the daughters in law.
Done. Jesus Christ.
You might end up with some Canaanite woman and you'll say, Lord, where was I looking when this happened?
Come on.
Pray that no Canaanite woman will show up take away your peace.
That's right. That's right.
And you brothers, don't just marry some Canaanite woman and dump her at home to make life difficult for your parents. Come on. And if she's doing it, speak some life into her and say, come on, these people made me. Before you saw me.
That's right.
They saw me.
That's right.
It's a different type of gospel, right? Jacob obeyed and departed. The interesting thing is he ran away a blessed man. Even though he was running a blessed man. Friends,
even if you are to leave, don't leave in a hurry. Don't leave like, leave with a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Leave with a blessing. Live with a blessing.
Okay.
I know pastors that have run away from churches because the church was splitting. They were so angry, they just abandoned that church and went to go and start in another ministry in anger. And how many times they have struggled with things they shouldn't have struggled with. If only they stepped back and said to the other pastor, Pastor, I believe the Lord is calling me to go and start another ministry in Richmond and I'm off. Or whatever, Baltimore. And,
mm-hmm.
and the pastor says, be the peace of God
mm-hmm.
with you.
Right.
So easy.
Mm-hmm.
Children that just abandon their parents and just run away. My parents are in pain. I just can't stand them. I can't put up with them anymore.
Mm.
And if you just said, Mom, Dad, I think I'm of age now. I have made a few more coins. I can go and rent a small studio for myself, an apartment, and live alone. And I want to test it out. And they say, oh, sure. May God bless you. Please have this for pocket money just in case you need it. And should you have any other need, call the number you have. And sometimes they'll just run off and 2-3 days later, they're right back there. What happened? Not even ask me. What happened? What God doing? I have no clue. And so, my conclusion is Romans chapter 11, verse 28-29.
Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God had said, Esau will serve Jacob. For Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. Jacob, controversial, stole his brother's birthright,
mm-hmm.
stole his brother's blessing, but this is the man God wanted.
Right.
The gifts of God are without repentance. They are irrevocable. Why he chooses some and not others, we will find out in heaven.
Right.
Why he makes one able to play the piano at 16 and an other at 50 cannot even play one song, we'll find out in heaven. But the good thing, he brings us all together that we may edify one another as we build the body of Christ. Let us stand up and pray.
Amen.
Father God of Abraham, we bless you and we honor you. For when we reflect on the life of Jacob, there is much we don't understand. But Lord, what you reveal to us, we take. And even as you continue to reveal more to us about Jacob, we pray that you will help us to appreciate that you know each one of us by name. You know each one of us as an individual. And you've called us that we may serve you as we are. We are the ones you chose. Lord, you chose me. You chose somebody else here. You chose each one of us. And you gifted us in the way you have gifted us. Because that is how we bring you honor. And that is how we bring you glory. So, Father, now we humble ourselves before you. And we put on Christ the garment of salvation. Lord, not our own ability, not our own righteousness. For before you it is filthy rags. But the forgiveness of God, the compassion of God, the mercies of God, the grace of God, and that is Jesus Christ. We put
put him on ourselves.
Thank you, Lord.
And we ask you, Lord, to now come and lead us the way you led Jacob when he left the home of his parents.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. I just want to thank Moses for the message that he's bringing, because I know we're all being enriched by this very much so. We're going to continue with that message the week after next. Also, I wanted to mention that we have a food bank that's been installed in the church now. So if Pastor Dean has opened it up to the other two churches that meet here, so they want to open it up to the church members first. So if you have need of some food, of someone that you know has needed some food, we're going to open it up starting April the 13th. That's Friday the 13th. We're Christians. We don't believe none of that foolish about Friday the 13th. Okay, so we're going to open it up and begin to minister to some people so that folks, that no one should be able to go without food. Amen. So God bless you. We'll see you either Tuesday or next Sunday. Amen.